Father, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I pray that your word is heralded forth and that nothing can stop it. And we know from your word that it will prosper in the thing whereunto you send it, and it never comes back void. And so to that end, Father, we pray that your word can run and have free course, and that every ear upon which this word of God falls, that person will be blessed, and that it will be a tribute and a credit to you and to our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you for his life and for all that he accomplished for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We shall begin in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, which is part of the great teaching that the Lord Jesus gave, which many refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. This teaching covers many aspects of Christian living and has provided and does provide the foundation and the basis for all of the teachings that Jesus Christ gave, and is essentially something that addresses the heart as no other teaching ever did before. One of the reasons that the individuals who lived at the time of Jesus Christ found him to be so difficult to take, so hard to swallow, was because his teachings were so revolutionary. Here in Matthew chapter 7, the Word of God declares, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Then, of course, this tremendous verse 6, which gives such great guidance and something we should honestly pay attention to. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And of course, this particular passage in those two last verses we read lend themselves to asking God first before you speak the word to anybody. But before that, the passage covered judgment, judging others. And of course, it's no secret that the natural man, the man of body and soul, the soul man, the man of the five senses, the worldly or earthy man, he is one that is prone to judgment and seems to have a propensity toward pointing fingers at others while ignoring his own faults and shortcomings. And of course, like it says in Romans chapter 2, which we will read in a bit, what these individuals accuse others of, they are guilty of themselves. Now today, of course, the media, the mainstream media as it's known, has a tendency to promote a lot of things without really investigating the great detail or facts based on whatever it is, whatever event it is that they have sought to report on. And as such, sometimes their reports are inaccurate, if not many times. Certainly they are biased at times, if not at all times. Hard to find a media outlet that's not biased, that doesn't choose one side or another. And as it is, journalism is designed, and they teach, although this was not the original intent of it, but they're taught to find that which arrests the most attention, the most human interest, and generally speaking, tends to be negative. Of course, we know that the news is more negative than not. Today also we have what's known as social media. Social media has the opportunity for all people to be able to voice their opinion. However, social media promotes reckless and irresponsible comments at times, which are made without the knowledge that is required to make a good, solid, factual-based, unbiased comment. And as such, many people who comment on social media do so with the full knowledge that there'll be no accountability for them. This, of course, is not a very good thing, and it's not a very sensible thing for anybody to put much stock in social media, and for that matter, into the mainstream media. And the reason for this is because to every story there are at least two sides. Your side, the other fellow's side, and more often than not, God's side, which makes for three sides to every story. People tend to be quick to judgment. They rush to judgment. And it says clearly in the Old Testament that a fool answers a matter before he hears it. And so we see much of this today. And this is why I have chosen this subject and the title, The Judge of All. And of course, we know, before we get to the end of the teaching, we already know who the judge of all is. That, of course, is God. No man has the right to judge another man. No man has the right to pass judgment on anybody, really. Of course, people do. This is man's day of judgment. And so it is, there's a legality in passing judgment, but there's also a moral and a spiritual responsibility before somebody passes judgment on another person. You might want to consider putting yourself in that person's shoes. With that in mind, let's go to Luke chapter 6, if you would. And we'll read a couple of verses there. You might also notice, if you haven't, that a very popular saying amongst many people today, young people, middle-aged people as well, I suppose, and that saying is, only God can judge me. And that is, while that is true, and while that has become a very popular tattoo, people get it tattooed prominently, only God can judge me. While it is true, I personally have witnessed and do believe that in many cases that's just an excuse for bad behavior, because a lot of people just like to do whatever, and Lord forbid that somebody should question their behavior. Who are you to judge me? And that, of course, has become, sort of the rallying cry of this particular generation, our culture here in the West. And there seems to be very little humility to go along with it. But it's interesting to note here that in Luke chapter 6, beginning in the 37th verse, again we read, and this is in reference to the teaching that Jesus gave, and we read just a small section from it in Matthew. Here it in Luke 37, it's based on that same teaching, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. And of course we had forgiveness in there, and forgiveness and judgment should go hand in hand. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. And then this marvelous 38th verse, which has been most often utilized by individuals to discuss and promote tithing and giving of pluralities. Of course, there's much more to it than that. And that actually is not the context. The context begins with, judge not. And of course, when you read the Word of God, you have to be reminded that there's a thing called context. And there's a stream of thought that is prevalent throughout the Word of God. Sadly, that which has been used to give us a clear way of finding our place in the Bible, and that would be chapters and verses, that has, in some cases, caused people to interrupt the continuity of a thought and thereby interject a new thought, or as we sometimes refer to it, arrest the verse from its context. Verse 38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, that is, of course, the truth, but it isn't relevant only to giving and receiving things of monetary or material nature. It has to do with everything, and specifically the context, the immediate context begins with the words, the two words, judge not. Judge not. So if you were to pass judgment on someone else, you can fully expect that which you have given will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Now that is an Orientalism which is based on the thought process and the practicality of the markets in the lands and times of the Bible. What they would do is, especially in selling of grains, they would take the grain and they would pour the grain into the sack or container, and then they would, in order to give you a good measure, so you're getting a good deal, they would press it down, shake it together, and then put some more in it, which would cause it to run over. Many times I'm reminded when I read this verse of the box of cereal that you buy in the supermarket, and how it always says on these boxes, and boxes like that with similar type products in them, that will say something on the box along the lines of contents may settle in traffic. So that may be true, the contents may settle, because usually when you open a cereal box or any box with that type of product in it, you find that it's never or very rarely filled to the top. Certainly, we never find it good measure. They give you a weight on the box, and then the box is generally much bigger than the weight necessary for it to hold. And so this is the way that they thought in the lands and times of the Bible, unlike the way that we think in the West today. In fact, as the price of things go up, the boxes of the products we purchase seem to get smaller. And in order to make us feel like we're getting a better deal, we're given a smaller box at the same price that we used to pay for a larger box. That, of course, is not good measure. And certainly, when you pass judgment on somebody, you don't want to get judgment in abundance coming back on you, but that is the way that the world has been arranged. That's what God has instituted in the world, which is why it says in one place in the Word of God that he is not mocked. That what a man sows, that's what that man reaps. And so if you sow judgment, then what do you suppose that you're going to reap? Well, judgment. And it's going to come back to you in spades, as they say. Just like when you scatter seed. When you plant seed for any particular plant or any particular crop, you get much more back than you planted. The seeds produce plants, and the plants produce whatever fruit or grain that they bear, in addition to many, many, many more seeds than the ones you originally sowed with. And so this is just the way the world works. And if we want things in the world to work in our favor, so that we can have lives that are blessed and that are a blessing to God and to our fellow man, to our families, to everyone we come in contact with, then one of the things we want to do is acknowledge God's Word. And specifically, along the lines of what we're looking at today, which is not judging. And again, the judge of all is God, not man. In Romans chapter 2, which I alluded to a moment or two ago, if you go there with me, we find a verse and a passage that in my mind has come up many, many times over the years as I see people pointing fingers at other people. And it seems today that everybody is all too quick to do that, all too quick to to point fingers at other people and pass judgment on them. We have not got the right to do that. And it's interesting because here it says in Romans, which is essentially foundational type doctrine for Christian behavior, what to believe, how to believe rightly. Romans is, so to speak, if many consider it to be the Magna Carta of Christianity. We read, therefore. And if you want to know what the therefore is, therefore, you simply read chapter 1, which talks about God taking care of all of us when actually we didn't have a right to anything that he did for us. He also talks about, in chapter 1, those who have, with full knowledge, rejected him and rejected his word. And that's why chapter 2 begins with the word therefore. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that what? Judgest. For, why? The word for is the word why. Could be considered why or because. Because wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Now we just read that if you don't judge, if you judge not, lest you be not judged, condemn not, lest you be not condemned. And thou that judgest, why? Because thou that judgest doest the same things. And how true that is. And if you pay attention, instead of just idly walking through life, if you pay attention to the way other people pass judgment on others and on the behavior of others, you'll notice that most of them are hypocrites, just like we read in opening in Matthew chapter 7. Why are they hypocrites? Because they do the same thing that they're judging someone else or accusing someone else of. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Well, what things? Judging another, condemning another. And knowest thou, or thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and you do the same, that you're going to escape, thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despisest the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And you know, right there is a lot to be said about some of these Christian groups who preach so much in the way of fire and brimstone. That is not how you lead a man to repentance. It is the goodness of God, which could be understood as the gentleness of God, that leads a man to repentance. So even in the first chapter of Romans, which talks about different behavior that individuals who have knowingly rejected the truth of God's word in favor of some kind of perverted behavior, even those individuals, if they are to be saved, if they're to be led to repentance, it must be gently. And of course, we have not seen that. We've seen just the opposite. Or, in terms of the world, some of the things, because of the harsh judgment that, honestly, many Christian groups pass upon people who behave in manners such as outlined in chapter 1 of Romans, because of that kind of behavior, that kind of judgment, that kind of caustic condemnation, it has opened the door for the world and the cultures of the world and those who are hardcore in those behaviors and don't wish to change, to lead many others into the same behavior rather than having the door open for them to be delivered and enjoy lives that are blessed by God and a blessing to God. So think about that before you pass judgment on anybody. Even if you read it in the Word, how you handle a person, how you approach a person, how you deal with a person should be in terms of this gentle and with goodness in mind. But after the hardness, thy hardness, an impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For, and this is a wonderful verse, there is no respect of persons with God. He does not care of your gender, means nothing to him. He does not care of your stature in life, in terms of your accomplishments, whatever accolades you may have garnered. He does not care about your pedigree. He does not care how tall you are. He does not care how strong you are, how good looking you are. He cares about one thing. Do you or do you not obey the tenets of his word? This is what he cares about. Are you the type of individual that we just read about here in these few verses in Romans chapter 2 who will get eternal life, honor, and immortality? Or are you the type of person who's disobedient to the truth and are going to receive condemnation or indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish? Well, not much of a choice. Option A or option B? Well, I'd say that one option is far superior to the other. Romans 14, please. And that option, of course, is to go God's way and not the world's way. But you have to pay attention because the world will lead you into this aspect of judgment. Today, man, it is just rife. The world is so rife with judging other people. And their standards are standards that they are self-imposed. They're not standards of truth. If I were to hold the truth of God's word up to somebody who I know is doing something that is harmful to them or to another, that would be far different than me deciding what's right and what's wrong on my own. There is a standard for truth. There is a standard for proper behavior, and it's found in God's word. It isn't based on what men and women think. You know, cultures are no guarantee for what is truth, no guarantee for what is virtuous. Cultures vary. And they vary a great deal. What some cultures accept as honorable and righteous, other cultures will lock you up for it. And so in order to have a standard that is truth and that doesn't change and that all men can line up with, we must go to God's word. And part of that standard is going to include not passing judgment because there's only one judge. Verse 1, chapter 14 of Romans. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't nag and criticize him just because he's weak. He just knew he's green, he's a baby. For one believes that he made all things, another who is weak eats herbs. And don't people, of course we're not talking in a spiritual vein, because that's what this is talking about. But just in a natural vein, people who are vegan, for instance, criticize and pass judgment on people who eat meat, and vice versa. People who eat meat pass judgment and ridicule upon people who won't eat meat. Well, it's really none of your business what the guy next to you eats. As long as that person doesn't interfere with what you're eating, then you really have nothing to say about it. That's what liberty is all about. We all have liberties that are God-given, inherent, and unalienable. But we cannot accept our liberties through the process of taking away the liberties of others. That's hypocritical. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him which eateth not judge him that eateth not. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And this is religion 101. We got this day is a special day, and this day is not a special day. We need to dress this way. We need to act this way. We need to speak this way. And if we don't, well, then we're not accepted. Well, says who? You could take the different religions of the world, and they're at juxtaposition one to another. They're mutually exclusive of one another. They can't all be right. Here's the great truth in it. He that regardeth the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now, it's not about what day it is, but do you respect God? So, if it's your birthday, well, happy birthday, reverence God. If it's not your birthday, it's your unbirthday, well, happy unbirthday, reverence God. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. Now when you read, it is written, it's not going to change. There are things in the Word of God that have conditions, that if you do such and such, the condition in your life will change, even salvation. That if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, and if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Though that's conditional. So you start out being unsaved, but there's a condition if you wish to be saved. Well, when you read it is written, there is no condition. That's the way it is. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So think about that next time you are tempted by the world to pass judgment on someone else. And it's such a subtle reality. It really is, you know. I can't tell you how many times I sit on my couch in my family room watching TV and tell that TV and the different sports figures I'm watching on that TV how they should act and how they're not doing a good job while I sit there on my couch, eating something, some snack, or drinking a cup of coffee or whatever. It's easy to say, you know. It's easy to say, well, you should have done this or you should have done that when you're not in the midst of it all. And when we're talking about life, sometimes in life, the challenges of life make things more difficult. And so let's take into consideration the other fellow before we pass judgment by initially putting ourselves in that person's shoes. You know, you might run into somebody in the supermarket. Maybe they just had a bad day. You've had bad days. I'm sure there have been times in your life where you've behaved in a manner that you're not proud of just because you had a bad day. We all do it. So let's consider the other person. And let's also make certain that we acknowledge there's only one judge. And we are not that judge. Nobody has made us judge and lawgiver. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Please. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful, not perfect. Faithful. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. This is the Apostle Paul on record. And by revelation, God is permitting him to record this. I judge not mine own self. No big thing if I'm judged of you or of man's judgment, and that's man's judgment day. I don't even judge myself, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge how much? Nothing. Before the time until the Lord come, it will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. This is man's day of judgment. That's what verse 3 has said. Paul wasn't moved by that. If it weren't man's day of judgment, you couldn't have men passing judgment on other men, like we see in our courts throughout the land, not only our land, but others as well. And it is man's day. So there are times when we are subjected to the laws of man. And the word says, for the Lord's sake, we should subject ourselves and be obedient to them. That is, of course, providing they don't ask us to violate the word of God. But just having it to be man's day of judgment, just giving man the authority to pass judgment, say in a court of law, does not mean that that man should not use truth as the standard for the judgment that is passed. Adam, you know, he had freedom of will like you and I. And because he had free will, he had the right to be disobedient. But that right was not, certainly wasn't the way to go, and it turned out to be sinful. So in addition to having some kind of legal right or authority, there's a responsibility, moral and spiritual responsibility. James chapter 4, if you would go there. Hebrews, James chapter 4. Some great truth here. Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now. Come on now. Come on now. You that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody. For what is your life? And this is so true. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, Lord willing, we'll live, and we'll do this or do that. Now, you don't realize just how frail life is until you are confronted with a life-threatening situation or a life-altering situation. And I got to tell you, you could be alive one minute and just dust the next. Your life is just a vapor. You know what a vapor is? It's just like smoke. A little bit of wind comes along, it's gone. So if it happens to be a mist, like a moisture mist, a vapor, it goes even faster than smoke because there's no true particulate in it. And so that's how God looks at our lives. It's just vapor, appears for a little time, then it's gone. Isaiah, if you would please, 33. So that being the case, you don't want to be judging other people. You don't want to be receiving judgment unto yourself based on the fact that you've judged others. You want to recognize that God is the judge and do your best, your level best, not to pass judgment. Now, at times that's challenging because we get sucked in. I know as well as anybody. But we need to stay mindful of it to the best of our ability. Verse 22 reads, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and he will save us. And as long as you know and acknowledge that God is your lawgiver, that God is your king, then there's salvation for you in any and all of life's situations. Look in Genesis 18. You know, Abraham understood this quite well. And of course, you're familiar with this record, I'm certain. I want to at least skim it a little bit. And we'll begin in verse 17 here. This is when these two angels visited Abraham. And when they left, verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now that is the responsibility of a parent. I know parents have lots of responsibilities, but that's the biggest one, that your children are raised to keep and do the way of the Lord, that they keep the way of the Lord. And of course, once they become the age of reason, it's sort of out of your hands, but it's up to you as a parent to teach them as they approach the age of reason, and perhaps confront them from time to time when they have reached the age of reason and have forgotten the way of the Lord, to do judgment and justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he'd spoken of. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because the sin, their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men, and don't worry, God knows all. And the men turned their faces from thence, they were angels, of course, and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, maybe there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Not far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked? And that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is the judge of all the earth. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom, 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare all the place for their sakes. And of course, you get down to the very end of the record, Sodom and Gomorrah did not get spared. There weren't even 10 righteous men within that city. And it's sad sometimes, if not frustrating, and if not anger-provoking, that the actions often of a few affect so many others. And we want to think about that as well. You know, you can remember that when you were in school, how that if certain individuals behaved a certain way, then the judgment that was passed upon them was levied upon us all. Boy, that wasn't any fun, was it? So you never want to be one of those individuals that brings down judgment upon everybody else. That's kind of like what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Look in Deuteronomy 32, if you would. Deuteronomy 32. 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. Fifth book in your Bible. Give ear, O ye heavens, this is called Moses' song, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. What a fantastic passage. And you might consider the 12th chapter of Hebrews, but I'm going to suggest that in your leisure you read that, because it talks about a number of things, and things that are relevant to our lives. Things that have to do with acknowledging that God is the judge of all. And I would like for you to go to Psalm 50. And we'll conclude there. You'll find that language, the judge of all, in Hebrews 12. But I just want to go to Psalm 50 with you and conclude with this. Beginning in verse 1. The mighty of God, even the Lord, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Stop, pause, and consider that phrase. God is judge himself. Our God is judge of all. And lest we forget that, let's always remind ourselves that we are not lawgivers, we are not judges, no one has made us that, but our God, He alone is judge of all, and because of that, we do not look or seek to pass judgment on others.